Last week, Barney shared about praise. What's the truest praise, right? And so, a lot of times you'll hear the phrase praise and worship together, right? Like it's the same thing. And we did do praise today, right? Because we were lifting our hands. That's what Barney was talking about last week, right? Stretching out your hand. Praise is to God, right? And so what we're going to learn about this morning is about worship, what worship is. And worship is an expression or a devotion of the heart. So that's the thing that I'm going to keep saying throughout this whole sharing this morning, is that it comes from the heart. And so I wanted to show you the word picture from Hebrew. And it's pronounced Shaka. And if you've read my book On the Fence of Salvation, then you'll recognize that letter in the middle there is the pictograph of a fence, right? And the whole allegory of salvation is that God has a fence where he invites everyone to come and learn about his mercy, his grace, his love. And he wants people to go inside the fence because inside the fence are all the good things, the spiritual things of life, rest, reconciliation, redemption, all kinds of great stuff. It's where we can lie down in green pastures, right? Well, so I learned this week, actually, that the word for worship has the idea of the fence in it. So it has the picture of, this is the teeth, too, remember, or the breasts. That's the sheen. And that means fullness. And then the guy with his hands standing up like this is the letter hey, like hey. And it means to behold or what comes from. So worship is what comes from the fullness of the fence. The fence meaning our relationship with God. The relationship that we have once we go into his presence and really abide there and live there is the idea behind worship. Now, remember, I also usually tell you that there's actions behind all these verbs. So the action for praise, remember, was to stretch out your hand, right? Okay. But the action for worship is to bow down. Bow down. And it can be translated stoop, crouch, fall down, be prostrate. But it has the whole idea of reverence, like you honor something. And there are different postures. See this picture? This is an oriental way of bowing down. You know, I think that it even still is carried forward in a lot of the Eastern countries where you bow, right? If you want to show someone reverence or homage, you bow to them, right? Well, there's all kinds of external body movements that we can do to worship. And one of them I was thinking about was, I don't know if when you were a child, but my parents made me kneel down beside my bed and hold my hands like this and bow my head like that, right? And then, okay, it's time to say your prayers. And as a child, just doing that action made my mind go to prayer, right? Another one is where, like the Muslims pray. It's a similar way the Middle Eastern people pray, where they actually get down, fall on your knees, and you touch your forehead to the ground. I'm not going to do it because I won't be able to get up. But anyway, you touch your forehead to the ground in showing humility. And also, it takes your eyes off of whatever else you're looking at outside of that. Because you have to, if you're touching your head to the ground, you can't see anything but the ground, right? Okay, well, I was thinking about other ways, especially in different churches, where people were shown or trained to worship. And like in the Catholic Church, they even have kneeling benches, right? And then you go through the ritual of stand up, sit down, whatever. And but it's a kneeling. And then the other one I thought of was like take your hands and go like this, right? When I also was a child, my parents made me sit in the pew with my hands like this. And I think it was so, you know, the squirmy, wormy children would be, you know, quiet and pay attention. Because if your hands are folded like this, they can't be, you know, poking my brother and trying, you know, do all sorts of other things. So you see how different forms of external movement we got trained in or learned sometimes as a child. And another one today is where everyone stands to worship. And sometimes that's difficult if you're an older person to stand for an hour, you know. But it originally started as a way to show respect. Not for the song, but for God, right? And that's why a lot of times people stand. But here's another fun one. The Greek word actually means to kiss toward something. Proskuneo is P-R-O-S-K-U-N-E-O. And it means to kiss. And it's where the kings and queens of England, you know, they originally kiss my hand. Ah. To show reverence to the queen or the king, you kiss their hand, right? And also from the British use, if there was a civil magistrate, like a judge who was very prominent, they were actually called your worship, where the honor was given to the person to really actually call them your worship. So another way that you can actually try to express what this idea of bowing down is, you've probably seen people hold their hands out like this when they're praying or when they're singing. Or they hold. Sometimes they do this, right, where it's palms up, palms out. But sometimes it's also palms up. And that's the idea of worship, where your head is bowed and your palms are up. Because worship also is more of a two-way thing. It has to do with our relationship with God. And our relationship with God is not just one way. It's not just us doing all the words, holy, 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 you are Lord. We're supposed to then change the posture and hold out our hands to receive something back from him, whether it's just a small whisper of, I love you, child, or I'm here for you. I have an answer for you today. Would you like to hear it? Just doing that. Just try it for a moment. Just hold your hands out. You see how it's open, right? You're opening your heart to want to receive something. And so that's the reason for that kind of a gesture. Now, there's no rules. You can praise God like this too. I mean, you can worship like this. It has to do with your heart. So we're going to look at some things about worship. And I just want to read a few verses from Psalms to get us started here. Psalm 5. There's a ton of places where shaka is used, and often it's translated to bow down. So look at verse 7 of Psalm 5. It says, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you, or that's reverence. The NASB says, I will bow in reverence. And King James is, I will worship toward your holy temple, right? But the worship there means to literally bow down. I will bow down in your house, in the fellowship, in a time where we can be together and worship God. So that, I found this other really wonderful quote. It says, worship is the response of a grateful and humble people to the living God. It's a response first, and then it's also a receiving back. Okay, let's look at Psalm 95. Like I said, there's just so many of them, but the Psalms are filled with them. I believe David probably had a real heart for worship. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come. Oh, come. You all come. All right. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. You see the fence idea? Is come and bow down. There's actually three ways here to bow in this verse. Let us worship. Let's bow down where you're acknowledging someone is bigger than you. And then you actually literally do bow down in some fashion. And then kneel, and bow down and kneel are two other words that are sometimes translated worship too. The one for kneel means to bless. Like when we sing the song, bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? That's this word kneel. That's why when we sing that particular one about 10,000 reasons, your heart just like, it just like leaps out and it becomes so full that, you know, singing the praises ends up being one way to express what you're feeling inside. Here, one more, 138. This is a familiar one. And this verse actually has worship and praise together. Psalm 138, verse 2. I bow down, or I worship toward your holy temple, and I give thanks, I praise your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God magnified his word above all his name, right? But his name is holy. And so those two things, see, where you bow down in honor and homage and reverence to him, and then lift up your hands in praise to tell him all the great things that he's done. See, for his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Isn't that awesome? All right. So let's learn a little bit more about worship here. What we've seen so far is that it has there's a posture of bowing down. And that it's something that comes from your heart and from your relationship with God. Okay? Got that so far? All right. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 4. This is where Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And I think it's the third temptation. So we're going to start in verse 6. The devil took him, or how about 5, verse 5, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give this, all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I will. The devil knew that the glory belonged to God, right? But he wanted it. And he tried to get Jesus to give it to him, to give him that bowing down kind of worship. So then verse 7, he says, if you then will worship me, it will all be yours. So he dangled the carrot in front of him. And Jesus answered, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You can show that slide that has that verse on it. Because in this, but what he's quoting here is from Deuteronomy. And it's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. But I want to read it to you. And most of the translations don't use the word worship. Here, I'll show you. Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. "It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear." So it's a, what Jesus did was he equated the term in the Old Testament about fear or reverence, right? I've taught it before where fear can either be, it's an awe word, A-W-E. It can either be awful or awesome, right? So there's, it can either be real fear or it can be reverence. When it's talking about God, it's talking about reverence or awe. And that's what Deuteronomy says, but he turns it around when he's talking to the devil and he tells him that you will only worship the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So I want to explain a little bit about this word worship. It comes from an old English where you take the word worth, W-O-R-T-H, and then ship. So worship is actually worth ship, where it's the act of giving someone worth or value. Worth ship. And then so it just got shortened to worship. But then this word for serve here is also sometimes translated worship. And that word you can understand as work, W-O-R-K, ship. You should worship, you should give God all the glory, the praise, the honor, the blessings that are due him because he is God. And then it issues actually in an attitude of heart of service. In all different kinds of ways. So you can worship God by singing, but that's not the only way. You can worship God by giving. You can worship God by loving people, by encouraging them, by reaching out in all different kinds of areas where then the worth-ship becomes work-ship. See, the devil wanted Jesus to not only bow down to him, he wanted him to serve him. So true worship is a combination of those two things. So now go over to Romans chapter 12. This is also a pretty familiar verse here. Romans 12 in verse 1. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." This is a little bit different word for worship here, but it has the idea of service built into it in the Greek, the latreo, L-A-T-R-E-U-O, has the same idea as the Old Testament word for serve, where giving our bodies as a living sacrifice is what true worship is. So I wanted to read to you the message. This is kind of really neat, of this verse. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Isn't that a cool translation? It's your everyday life. That is what we give to God in worship. It's a devotion of the heart, But then it's acted out where our everyday, ordinary, going about day is supposed to be dedicated to spiritual worship and service to God. Isn't that neat? It's so wonderful. So you got to think about, well, what's your typical walking around day? Well, it's going to work. It might be making a phone call. It might be doing something for someone. But there's action, right? I was thinking that it was also really wonderful that, because there's another verse that says, worship God in the beauty of holiness. And when the believers in the Old Testament would go to the temple, they would put on their best clothes and they went through the ritual mikveh baths so that they would be clean. When they came into the presence of God, they put on beautiful attire and made themselves as presentable as possible. And that's what we should do when we come to fellowship or when we go to worship in a group, right? But you can also worship God in your PJs, you know, sitting by the fire, right? You can worship out in the backyard. It's an attitude of heart, but it also gets translated then to a action in our daily life. So the devotion to God becomes worship as well as worship. So now there's one other verse I want to read you that is also very familiar, and that's John 4, 24, 23. We'll start there. This is the record of Jesus is in Samaria, and the disciples go get something to eat, and because they've been traveling a long time. And the Samaritan woman comes and offers him a drink. He asks her to give her something to drink, which is unusual in that culture. You didn't normally approach a man did not approach a woman and say, you know, give me something to drink. But she did. And then Jesus proceeds to tell her all about her past and how she had husbands, and I think her eyes must have been going, wow, how did you know that? You know. But then they end up having a discussion about where God should be worshipped. So if you look at verse 20, it says, our Father, this is the lady talking, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. There was a mountain in Samaria called Mount Gerizim where the Samaritans worshipped. And there was a conflict going on all the time about should they go to Jerusalem because that's where the temple was, or could they just go ahead and worship God on this other mountain? And the Jews, the Judeans, would always say, no, you have to go to Jerusalem. All right. So Jesus said to her, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here. That's a key phrase right there. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So I was reading from the ESV, and it really struck me this week about how the hour is coming and is now here. Because we've taught often that this verse is about speaking in tongues, like he's prophesying that there's going to be a time where people will worship by way of spirit, like meaning the gift of Holy Spirit, right? And that's true. I mean, it in the future that did happen, and it is available for us to do that. That's one way for us to be able to worship is by speaking in tongues. But he's talking to this Samaritan woman here. And he's saying, it's now here. It's possible to do this kind of worship right now. His answer to her question about where should we worship, he said, it's not important where you worship. It's important how you worship. And he says it should be with spirit and with truth. So the spirit is the heart part, where it's your life. It's your whole life that you use to worship. And the truth is the same word as the one that's in the armor of God, where it's gird up your loins with truth. It doesn't mean an absolute truth. It means faithfulness or integrity. So we worship, or what God really seeks is for people to worship him with their whole life, their whole heart, in complete devotion, with faithfulness. And he was telling the woman, you can do this now. And this is what I came for, is to show that this would be available. And she gets all excited and says, oh, I know that the Messiah is coming. He is who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And she just like, wow, I got to go tell everybody. I got to go tell. I have to go shout it about this, is that you can worship God with your whole being, your whole life, with like a fervent heart. And remember what I said before, what the quotation was, that, okay, worship is an expression of devotion of the heart. It's an expression of devotion of the heart. And it issues in service, to where you want to give your whole life, every moment of your life you possibly can, to God, to honor him. So now you see a little bit of the difference between praise and worship. Because praise is this to God. It's giving thanks to him primarily. But worship is where we bow down. And however you want to do it, you want to hold your hands out like this, or you just bow your hands and pray, right? But it's an action of the heart. And it says that God seeks true worshipers like that. Isn't that awesome? So that's what I wanted to share about true worship today. And there's another song. This one I learned about 15 years ago. It was done by the Maranatha Singers. And it's called When I Look Into Your Holiness. And we're not going to play it, but I just wanted to read you the words. It's, when I look into your holiness, and when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. See, when we bow our heads and when we pray or hold our hands or whatever, then the things that are surrounding us become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, and when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. And the reason I live is to worship you. God bless you.